Sie kennen meine Ansicht, wenn jemand Krieg will, dann sollen sie gefälligst selbst gehen. Soll ein Friedrich Merz an die Grenze gehen, in die Ukraine, er soll selbst dienen. Oder ein Lars Klingbeil oder diese ganzen Kriegsverweigerer aus der SPD-Fraktion, die sollen einfach mal beweisen, was sie drauf haben, wenn sie diesen Krieg fortsetzen wollen. Das möchte ich mal gerne sehen.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, October the 9th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And we have some breaking news, which is that the European Parliament has passed a resolution calling on EU countries to shoot down Russian aircraft in their airspace. That is the breaking news from the EU Parliament, giving the green light to EU member states to shoot down Russian aircraft, which is crazy, but also meaningless. Who is the EU Parliament to grant permission to EU member states, to their militaries, to shoot down Russian aircraft? It's ridiculous. The country that will decide if EU member states are going to actually try and bring down Russian fighter jets is going to be the United States. It's that simple. If the United States tells NATO and tells EU member states to begin to shoot down Russian fighter jets, then that's what they will do. But the EU Parliament is not going to decide whether member states are going to take down Russian fighter jets. This is a ridiculous resolution from the European Parliament, but it does highlight and show how absolutely nuts members of the EU Parliament have become. They are absolutely going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They are trying to seize Russian shadow fleet tankers. They're talking about blocking Russia in the Baltic Sea and the Russian frozen assets and stealing Russia's money. And now they're talking about shooting down Russian fighter jets. The problem with resolutions like this is that you never know. You may have an EU member state or some military official in NATO actually give the order to fire on a Russian fighter jet without getting the permission of the United States. Possible. This could happen. And then you can get into a very dangerous moment. But without the permission of the United States, none of this means anything, really. So that's the one bit of breaking news. We also have breaking news with regards to Ursula von der Pirate's no confidence votes, two no confidence votes for Ursula, and she has won both of them. So this was expected, that she was going to come out okay with these no confidence votes, one from the left of the EU Parliament, one from the right, but Ursula has survived the no confidence votes. But she actually did better than many people had expected. She actually got more support than many people had thought she would get. So once again, this reflects very poorly on the EU Parliament, the fact that they actually gave more support to Ursula von der Pirate, which means more deindustrialization, more funds, more spinning of the washing machine, more Project Ukraine, more digital ID, more central bank digital currencies, and all of these things, right? That's what they've given support to. Ursula's initiatives, which are just centered around more control to the center and to Brussels, and the more weakening and hollowing out of the individual member states. So that is the other bit of breaking news from the EU Parliament. And we also had the big breaking news from the United States, which is that Trump's 20-point peace plan for Gaza, phase one, has been approved. And Trump was at an event in the United States, and Marco Rubio passed him a note. And various journalists in the United States, they claim that they had a peek at what this note said. And the note said to the president that Marco Rubio gave him that he needs to approve a Truth Social post, which announces that Israel and Hamas have accepted phase one of his 20-point peace plan. And sure enough, we got an announcement from Trump at this event where he said, I was just given a note by the Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East. And then we had the post on Truth Social go up where it was indeed announced that the phase one of the 20-point peace plan had been approved. I am very proud to announce that Israel and Hamas have both signed off on the first phase of our peace plan. This means that all of the hostages will be released very soon, and Israel will withdraw their troops to an agreed-upon line as the first steps toward a strong, durable, and everlasting peace. All parties will be treated fairly. This is a great day for the Arab and Muslim world, Israel, all surrounding nations, and the United States of America. And we thank the mediators from Qatar, Egypt, and Turkey who worked with us to make this historic and unprecedented event happen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. So that is the message from the Trump administration. Phase one has been agreed. This is very positive news. This is very good news because it means that there will be a release of hostages. They will go home. Prisoners will also be released. They will also go home. And the plan, phase one, calls for the Israeli military to move back to what is being called the yellow line in Gaza, which is effectively the line of the Gaza City operation. That's what the yellow line is. And that is where the IDF, according to reports, is moving back towards. We're already getting reports saying that the Israeli military is starting to move back towards this yellow line. And then the hard part begins. And I've talked about this in many videos. Phase two of the 20-point peace plan is the difficult part to all of this. That will call for Hamas to disarm. That will call on the Israeli military to withdraw from Gaza. And there are other parts to the phase two of to the phase two part of the peace plan, which will make it very difficult. But that will be negotiated now over the next couple of weeks. Trump also said that he might be going to the Middle East, to Israel on Sunday and on Monday to oversee the completion of phase one. It's not 100%, but I do believe that Trump will most likely be traveling to the region in order to oversee phase one of the 20-point peace plan. And keep in mind that as you have this withdrawal of Israeli forces to the yellow line, as you have a ceasefire, hostages and prisoners being released, you also have taking place at the same time the buildup with Iran. And so the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, he issued a statement with regards to the 20-point peace plan, saying that he is in support, that Russia is in support of Trump's peace plan. They back it, saying that it is the best option that is currently on the table. So that is Russia's position with regards to the peace plan and to phase one of the peace plan. Trump is talking about the Nobel Peace Prize, or at least the Trump White House is making one final push for him winning the Nobel Peace Prize, which will be announced tomorrow, October the 10th. The peace president is the message that is being put out there on social media. The Financial Times, they actually posted an article with the title, Trump Looms Large Over Nobel Peace Prize. And in this article from the Financial Times, they actually criticize Trump and his push for a Nobel Peace Prize. The Financial Times says that Trump is putting a lot of pressure on the Nobel Peace Prize Committee to give him the award. And according to the Financial Times, they claim that when Trump was speaking to officials in Norway, to government officials in Norway, he actually put pressure on them to give him the Nobel Peace Prize, is what the Financial Times is claiming. Ukraine, they are telling Trump that, or at least Zelensky is telling Trump that if he gives long-range missiles to Ukraine, Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine, then Zelensky will lobby on behalf of Trump to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. At the same time that Zelensky came out with this statement, the Ukraine parliament, they actually had a resolution to vote on whether they would support the parliament of Ukraine, if they would support Trump getting a Nobel Peace Prize and actually nominate Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize, the Ukrainian parliament nominating Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize. And the vote did not pass. The resolution did not pass. So the Ukrainian parliament has denied Trump a Nobel Peace Prize nomination. But in comes Zelensky saying, you know what, Mr. President, if you give us Tomahawks, we'll lobby for the Nobel Peace Prize. So that is the offer that Zelensky is making to the U.S. president. Podolyak, I have a good idea. I will tell Mr. Trump, you give us Tomahawk long-range missiles, and I will lobby Oscars for Oscar Peace Prize. Mr. President, there's no such thing as an Oscar Peace Prize, and it's the Nobel Peace Prize. What you talk about, Podolyak? There is another award for actors called Nobel Prize? No, Mr. President. The Oscars are for actors, and the Nobel Peace Prize is for leaders who promote peace. Okay, Podolyak, I see. Maybe my plan not so good. Scratch that. Yeah, so that is what is going on there. The offer being made from Zelensky to Trump. The ICC, they may be bringing a case against Georgia Maloney. Maybe. I doubt it, but it's possible. Maloney admitted the other day that, she revealed the other day that she may be facing an ICC case over complicity in genocide. And not only Georgia Maloney, but also two of her ministers and the CEO of a major weapons manufacturer. They have been reported to the ICC, to the court. And all I have to say about this is, you know what, Maloney? You were cheering on the ICC case against Russian President Vladimir Putin, the politicized, bogus, in my opinion, case against Russian President Vladimir Putin. So why not should you be brought up to the ICC for what is happening in Gaza? Maloney said, I don't think there's any other case in the world, in history even, of such a charge being made, she said during the talk show Port a Porta, without providing details about who had brought the case. Well, you guys pushed the politicized ICC case against Putin, so you deserve to have the ICC bring a case against you, Georgia Maloney. That's my thoughts on that. And since we're talking about the brainiacs, the brainiac leaders, the very intelligent, very competent, stunning and brave leaders of the European Union, let's talk about the one and only stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. According to the neocon publication Foreign Policy, they are saying that there are many people in the European Union who are just getting fed up with stunning and brave Kaya Kallas and her 24/7 obsession with Russia. They told Foreign Policy that this obsession with Russia is not only damaging the European Union, but it is making the European Union look incompetent and quite frankly stupid when it comes to diplomacy. Her day starts and ends with Russia, Kallas critics to Foreign Policy. The EU's foreign policy chief is described as more cop than diplomat, the outlet has reported. Kallas secured her role largely through her anti-Russia rhetoric, but insiders argue that her tone has alienated partners and undermined the EU's diplomatic standing. So they admit that the only reason Kallas was put in the position of top diplomat of the European Union was because she is obsessed with Russia. And now they're upset with her obsession with Russia. So she got the position because of her obsession, and now she is being criticized for her obsession. That's the European Union, folks. So what else is Foreign Policy saying? We expect her to be, well, more diplomatic, one EU-based diplomat told the outlet in a report published on Tuesday. She is more cop than diplomat, another source said. Her day starts and ends with Russia. According to Foreign Policy, Kallas's tendency to say what's on her mind has strained ties with major nations, including China, India, and even the United States. As a result, she has often been partially sidelined in favor of figures such as Mark Rutte of NATO and French President Macron. That says a lot, huh? When Kallas is sidelined because she's so obsessed and nutty about Russia, she's sidelined in favor of Rutte and Macron. My God. Crazy stuff, man. Her tendency to say what's on her mind. What exactly is on Kallas's mind? Russia. That's the only thing that's on her mind. That's it. So yeah, she says what's on her mind, and what's on her mind is 24/7 Russia, 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 Russia. Yeah. So anyway, that's what Foreign Policy is reporting about stunning and brave Kallas, and someone who Kaya Kallas supports 100% is none other than Zelensky, the Green Goblin. He is talking a whole lot of smack, Zelensky. He is talking about using long-range missiles. The long-range missiles are coming any day now, according to Zelensky, and he is going to use those long-range missiles to strike all the way to St. Petersburg, to the region of St. Petersburg. That is what Zelensky is talking about. And he is also warning Russia that if they continue to hit Ukraine's energy infrastructure and their gas infrastructure and their railways, then he is going to strike at Kursk and at Belgorod and cause massive blackouts in Belgorod and in Kursk. And he has shown, the Ukraine military has shown, that they do have the capabilities using HIMAR missiles along with NATO-US targeting. They have the ability to cause blackouts, at least in Belgorod. They caused a blackout in Belgorod a couple of days ago. So Ukraine definitely has the capability to cause blackouts along the border towns. But Zelensky is also threatening long-range missile strikes deep into Russia, all the way up to St. Petersburg. So that is what Zelensky said with regards to the long-range missiles. He also talked about the fact that Russia is running low on gasoline. He said, according to our data, the fuel shortage in Russia, specifically gasoline, is already approaching 20%. They've now begun tapping into diesel reserves, which they've been saving for a rainy day. Yeah, it's a stupid narrative of Russia tapping into diesel reserves because they've stopped exporting diesel or have lowered their export of diesel, which is something they do often, actually. Nothing new there with regards to the exporting of diesel. But Zelensky is also saying that if you just push a little harder, U.S. President Trump, Keith Kellogg, if you just tell Trump to push a little harder, then the Russian economy will collapse because there is a gasoline shortage. And that's how this goes, right? Zelensky puts out these messages. He also tells this stuff to Kellogg and to Lindsey Graham. And then Kellogg and Lindsey Graham, they whisper this stuff to Trump, and Trump believes it. He buys into these narratives, and then he posts this stuff on Truth Social, and there you have it. That's how this information war goes. But the gasoline shortage, yeah, I don't see any of that, actually, to be quite honest. I don't see any freaking signs of any shortages in gasoline. So anyway, that is Zelensky, the Russian deputy foreign minister, Ryabkov. He was speaking to Parliament the other day, and Alexander went over his speech to the Parliament in Russia. And in his speech, Ryabkov, he basically said that all the progress made between the United States leading up to the Alaska meeting between Trump and Putin has been exhausted. It has all been exhausted and thrown away. And he blamed NATO and the Europeans. No blame to the Trump administration, the Trump White House, Kellogg, Lindsey Graham, the neocons. No blame thrown at them. All the blame was put on the Europeans for sabotaging the negotiations and the progress that had been made between the United States and Russia. The diplomat claimed that the powerful impetus to find a settlement to the Ukraine conflict was extinguished by Russia's opponents and the efforts of supporters of a war to the last Ukrainian, primarily among Europeans. So a new European leader, Mr. Babich of the Czech Republic, he said that when he takes over in the Czech Republic, there will be no more money to Project Ukraine and also no weapons to Project Ukraine. No weapons from the Czech government to Project Ukraine. But Babich did say that if weapon manufacturers in Czechia, if they want to sell weapons to Project Ukraine, then he's not against it. He's not going to stop them from selling weapons to Project Ukraine. But as far as his government goes, there's no money for the Green Goblin, and there's no more weapons, at least from the government side of things, to Project Ukraine. We will not give Ukraine a single crown from our budget for weapons, Babich said in Prague on Wednesday. We have no money for the Czech Republic. Yeah, at least he admits, he's one of the few leaders that admits that they're broke. All of the EU is completely broke. But the parliament, they've given a whole lot of support now to Ursula to continue to borrow, even though they are broke, continue to borrow and continue to create the weapons funds to get the weapons to Project Ukraine, to get member states to take out loans and to get an even more debt, and then to get the weapons to Project Ukraine. So all of this has been voted on in the parliament, and they're supporting the collapse of the European Union, the slow motion collapse of the European Union. But Babich is admitting that as far as the Czech Republic goes, we're broke and we don't have the money to hand over to Project Ukraine. So I would take a guess that when Ursula approaches the Czech Republic and tells them to start taking out loans in her defense fund and use those loans to purchase weapons for Project Ukraine, I would imagine that Babich is going to be rational. I would hope that Babich is going to be rational and tell Ursula, no, we're not going to put the Czech Republic into debt in order to give money to Zelensky. That is what I hope Babich tells Ursula. That is what Orban, I imagine, is going to tell Ursula. And that is what Fico, I imagine, is going to tell Ursula when she comes a-knocking for them to take out loans in order to hand over weapons to the Green Goblin. Anyway, that is the news out of Czechia. And from the United States, a quick update on Comey. He has pleaded not guilty to the two charges that he faces in connection to Russiagate. And the Babylon Bee had a pretty funny post on X saying James Comey produces letter signed by 51 former intelligence officers saying he's totally innocent. In reference, of course, to the 51 intel officers and the Hunter Biden laptop and all of that, right? So anyway, that is Comey. Completely expected that he would say he is not guilty. But that's the official plea from Comey's lawyers. Let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap this video up. So yesterday I talked about statements from Donald Tusk in connection to Nord Stream, where Tusk said that the problem with regards to Nord Stream is not that it was blown up, but the problem was that it was built. And Tusk said that in a statement or in a speech, but I didn't realize that he had also posted this on X. The problem with Nord Stream 2 is not that it was blown up. The problem is that it was built. That is what the Prime Minister of Poland posted on X. He actually thought it would be a good idea to put that message out on X. Man, who is advising Donald Tusk? Who is in his social media team that is telling him, yes, Mr. Prime Minister, I think that post is perfect to put on X. That's a perfect message to post on X. What are you trying to tell us, Donald Tusk, with that message, huh? Is there something you want to get off your chest? Is there something you want to reveal when it comes to Nord Stream? Maybe a little bit something more than what your foreign minister posted 5 minutes after Nord Stream was blown up, saying thank you, USA, with a picture of the Nord Stream pipeline bubbles, gas bubbles from the blowing up of this pipeline. Is there something you want to tell us, Prime Minister Tusk? Or is this some sort of a contest? Maybe the EU leaders have some sort of a contest, some sort of a bet. Who can say the dumbest thing by the end of the year? Who can say more dumb things by the end of the year wins some sort of a prize or something? I don't know. I can't explain the logic behind a prime minister of a country thinking it's a good idea to say that the problem with Nord Stream is not that it was blown up. The problem is that it was built. Okay, Donald Tusk. Anyway, the foreign minister of Hungary, Peter Szijjártó, he decided to weigh in on Tusk's message on X, and he said, according to Donald Tusk, blowing up a gas pipeline is acceptable. That's shocking, as it makes you wonder what else could be blown up and still be considered forgivable or even praiseworthy. One thing is clear, we don't want a Europe where prime ministers defend terrorists. Oh man, that is an accurate statement from Peter Szijjártó, but also a brutal statement directed at Donald Tusk. 100% spot on from Peter Szijjártó. Anyway, that's Donald Tusk. I think they have a contest going on. They must have a contest going on in Brussels. Who can say the dumbest thing by the end of the... Kind of like my clown world, huh? Maybe they have like their own internal clown world contest going on, right? Now Donald Tusk is saying, I'm going to win this thing with that post on X. I'm going to win this thing. Kaya Kallas is saying, hold my beer. All right. Since we're talking about clown worlds, let's talk about Emmanuel Macron. His latest approval numbers have him at 13% approval and 79% disapproval. 13%. You are telling me that there are 13% of people in France who actually approve of Macron? Who are these people? Who are these people? Show me this 13%. Okay, the media, his administration, his cabinet, the media. Brigitte? Probably not. I bet you Brigitte is probably one of the 79% who disapprove of Macron, to be quite honest. Oh, man. There is some news, an update on what's going on in France. There is news that that Le Carnu, though he will be leaving the post of prime minister, he did manage to convince opposition parties or members of parliament not to push for parliamentary elections. Forget about presidential elections, but he also convinced them to not go for parliament elections, which, according to various media reports, means that Macron is going to appoint another prime minister in 48 hours. This is going to be prime minister number six in five years since 2022. Yes, it's 2022. This will be prime minister number six for Macron. Oh my God. Yeah, he's just trying to buy time. He's just trying to get to 2027. That's the strategy. Let's just keep on appointing prime ministers. And hopefully we'll get to 2027. And Macron's saying, then I'm Audi 5000. And then I can take on the post of Ursula. I could become the commissioner of the European Union, or I could become the leader of the IMF or the UN or whatever. Whatever post the WEF is going to give to Macron for a job well done in wrecking Europe, in wrecking France. Anyway, an update on Brigitte Macron. Since I mentioned it, there are reports claiming that Brigitte Macron is going to share images of herself pregnant to refute Candace Owens' claims. This is being reported now on social media. And even Grok, they were asked about these reports, and Grok said multiple outlets, including the BBC, The Guardian, and ABC, report the claims against Brigitte Macron as conspiracy theories. The defamation lawsuit against Candace, filed in Delaware in July 2025, remains ongoing. The Macrons plan to submit pregnancy photos and scientific evidence. No sources indicate a DNA test is mandated. Yeah, a lot of people are saying with the photos, is she going to also hand over a DNA test? But according to Grok, maybe that will be handed over. Maybe not. Grok just says scientific evidence along with photos. But no sources, according to Grok AI, indicate a DNA test is mandated. So anyway, that's an update there. And I think I am done with this video update. I forgot again to say at the beginning of the video, like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Why do I always forget? I wish someone would remind me. I wish someone would remind me to say like this video in the beginning. Anyway, like this video if you want. If you want and you enjoyed this walk and talk, then please like this video, subscribe to my channel if you want, and I will see everybody tomorrow. Did I say that we are on X and that we are on Telegram and Rumble? Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.